You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
If I don't make it, you'll know why, because something happened. I don't know what's wrong with it. It just updated, so maybe it's just being weird. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, I can do the countdown since we, like, didn't do it
Sorry.
Correctly. You're okay, ready?
Yes.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Hey, what's up?
And, of course, produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Check out our social media after the show. Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I almost said YouTube, but we don't really do YouTube.
Yeah, we don't have YouTube anymore.
My bad.
Because you can go to our website, limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, to check out videos and all the other things that you love, and to sign up for our membership.
Yes. Yes.
Not just our membership. It's like a whole membership. There's a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff.
Go check it out. Oh, goodness. All right. We are in the last season of Buffy, which, honestly, I was ready for.
Yeah. I'm kind of on a Buffy burnout, to be honest.
And this season didn't help. I mean,
no,
it's not the greatest.
Yeah. It's.
It really should have ended after 5.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that because there was a network change, and that's why they sort of teased, like,
yes.
This could, okay.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think that was part of the problem with UPN and...
It would have been a very perfect ending had they done that. It wasn't bad after. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 6 and 7 were not bad per se. They had their good moments. It was a lot. There was a lot going on. It's like
Joss was like, oh, it hasn't been depressing enough. Let's just throw everything in 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Stinking Joss.
Yeah, 7 redeemed itself a little bit from 6, I think.
Well, and the nice thing about 7 is the ending sets it up for us to be able to have graphic novels and novels and other stories. And we are, apparently, it is very on. We are getting a reboot with Sarah Michelle Gellar in it, which honestly I'm kind of excited for because I do love her. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of worried about what they're going to do because reboots are, I don't know.
I mean, we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah. Because I just saw like a reel, this is so off topic of Buffy, but I just saw a reel this morning about how there's been like, there's certain people that have said like, they need to reboot Star Wars with a new Luke Skywalker and it'd be like Stan Sebastian. I'm like, excuse me, no. Number one, Mark Hamill's still alive. We don't do this right now. And number two, no. Like, stop it. Stop it.
I mean, if you ever want to do young versions of it, we're going to have to do it eventually.
That's fine.
If we want
to do a young version of Luke, Sebastian would work great. But they were talking about like starting over. And I'm like, no.
No.
Oh, yeah, no, that's...
bad.
No.
All right. There's something else they're going to start over here. And I'm just, what was it? there's another thing. It wasn't a Marvel thing because they do that all the time. It was something else. I don't know. If I think about it, I'll say it. But I'm just like, no, okay. Stop it. But anyways, summary of season 7 in, okay, and I'm going to be honest, I used ChatGPT for all my summaries and my key points and all the things because I can do it. I could have sat here for like 3 hours and found all of these things, but mm-hmm. I don't have time. I'm an adult now. So I use ChatGPT.
Oh, hello, ChatGPT. I jumped on that. I jumped on
that. I hate it.
Nice.
Yeah. I hate it, but I love it because I'm like, oh, if I don't have time, it can give me summaries or it can give me ideas and then I can riff off of it. But then I hate it because I'm like, I'm smart enough to do this and I know I can do this. And there's this whole study that they just did that people who use ChatGPT for their assignments, they learn nothing. Like our generation is the last generation who actually knows how to write and put essays together and knows how to do these things.
That's not saying a lot, because I was never very good at that back in the day. I just faked most of it, so.
Yes, but at least you still were able to sit down and fake it. They can't even do that. They have to have someone else even put it together for them. Like, there's been a whole MIT study. You can look it up. It's interesting. Oh. Anyways, in the final season, Buffy faces her biggest challenge yet with the emergence of the First Evil, a powerful entity determined to destroy the Slayer line. Buffy must rally new Slayers in training, known as Potentials, and unite her friends and allies for a final showdown. The season focuses on themes of empowerment, redemption, and sacrifice, with Buffy confronting her destiny while griping with her role as a leader. As the stakes rise, old faces return, and Buffy's journey accumulates in a climactic battle that changes everything for the future of the Slayer legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, GPT. It's much better than anything on IMDb.
Oh, well, that is fair. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, we have Sarah Michelle Gellar, Michelle Trachtenberg, James Marsden, Allison Hannigan, Nicholas Brendan, and Emma Caulfield in pretty much all of the episodes, except for Xander is not in one and Anna's not in 3, but everyone else is in every single episode, which is interesting.
Well, they're broken up, so they don't matter anymore. Broken up now, so they don't matter anymore.
This is true. Oddly enough, though, I've liked her more now that they're not together.
Yeah.
Like, the episodes I did watch, I'm like, huh, she's not bad anymore. Maybe it's just Xander.
No, it's Xander.
He's not a good guy.
He's not. Reoccurring cast that's in there. Andrew comes back. Tom Lank for 15 episodes. DB Woodside is Robin for 14 episodes. Robin is the new principal.
Mm-hmm.
And when he walked on, I'm like, why? It took me a minute to remember who the heck he was. I'm like, oh yeah. Because at first I thought he was the evil, and I'm like, oh no, he's not the evil.
No.
What do you know him from? Because I probably know him from something different.
Oh no, I'm not talking about what I know him from previous, because I have no idea. I'm talking like in the show. Like, I couldn't remember who he was in the show. He does look familiar. DB Woodside, I know that name. I just don't remember what else he's been in. I feel like he was a villain in whatever else I've watched him in.
Yeah, he was.
I'm not positive, though.
I know him from Lucifer.
That's what it was, yeah.
That's where I remember him from. Yeah,
I'll have to look it up later. Of course, Anthony Stewart Head comes back as Giles for 13 episodes. There's Ayer Lemon as Kennedy, Sarah Hannigan as Amanda, Felicia Day as Vi, Indigo as Rona, Adam Bush as Warren, shows up as a lovely evil for 5 episodes. I can never say your name right. Eliza
Dushku
comes back as Faith. Nathan Fillion, I thought he was in more episodes. He's only in 5.
He comes late.
Is Caleb, who is the minion of the First Evil. Clara Bryant is Molly. Camden Toy is an Uber vamp. Danny Strong comes back as Jonathan for 4 episodes. Christy Wu is Chow. Juliet Landau is Drusilla for 3 episodes. Daniel Ramirez as Cardin. Let's see here. Who else is like... David comes back as Angel for 2 episodes. And then Christine Sutherland comes back for 2 episodes as Joyce. Again, anyone who came back who's already dead, it's the first evil.
So they're not a fun return.
No, it's not a fun return at all.
No.
So the big bad, of course, is the first evil.
Yep.
The first episode is Lessons. Sunnydale High is reopened. And I did watch this episode, and as I'm watching this episode, and Buffy's, like, all concerned throughout the whole episode, I'm like, she has reasons. Like, I would be the same way. I'd be like, I don't even want to walk in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no.
So Sunnydale reopens with a new design campus and a new principal, Robin Wood. It is Dawn's first day at school there, and Buffy accompanies her to class, only to discover evil spirits lurking in the basement.
Of course.
Apparently evil spirits that Buffy allowed to die or had to kill or whatever, and they're mad. And you know what? That
put it
tracked.
On the Hellmouth. What do you expect? Like, why would you rebuild there?
They built it, like, when they were looking at the plans, the principal's office is over the Hellmouth. It's not the library anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, you think the principal's evil. It's like, actually, no, he's not.
He had an alternative plan. That's why he wanted to be there. Yeah.
And then the last episode, of course, is season 7, 22. They were consistent throughout all 7 seasons, 22 episodes. It's called Chosen. After killing Caleb, Buffy conceives a plan to defeat the first once and for all. Willow invokes a magic spell that alters the ancient Slayer spell and gives Buffy the ally she needs to fight the Uber Vamp army. An epic battle ensues and several good friends are lost. At the end, Buffy faces a completely new problem, one she's glad to have. And it's, what does she do now?
Yep. I love that ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They ended it well. Yeah. Yeah. With all its problems, they did give it a good ending.
And that episode was the highest ranked episode for the season with a 9.3 on IMDb. Second highest was Conversations with the Dead, which was an 8.9. This is where Buffy strikes up a conversation with a vampire who was once an acquaintance in high school. And also Dawn defends Joyce from a menacing creature. So this is when Joyce kind of shows up and is the first evil. It's not pretty. Third highest ranking is Lies My Parents Told Me. It was an 8.7. This is when we figure out who Robin is, who seeks revenge on Spike for killing his mother nearly 30 years ago while everyone tries to find out how the first has control over him. I'm assuming control over Spike is what they meant by that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And then the lowest ranked one is a 7.1, and it's the episode called Him. This is where Xander and Spike search for the source of a spell that has bewitched the girls into competing for the affections of a high school quarterback. That just seems like a very out of place episode. And have you noticed that all of Xander's out of place episodes are the lowest ranked ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's forced.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is the lowest ranked episode in Angel season 1 is an episode called She.
Which one was that?
That is, I know we'll talk about it next week, but it is Angel finds himself caught up in the middle of the war between the sexes when female demon from another dimension fights against her male oppressors.
Yeah, that episode was like.
So I find it interesting that the lowest in both, like, these seasons, I don't know, they're not parallel, but, like, it's just, like, they named one Him, they named one She, and they were both the lowest. I thought it was interesting. Yeah.
No, that is funny.
Yeah. Some major themes we kind of already alluded to. Empowerment, the transformation of the potentials into Slayers symbolizes empowerment, both individually and collectively. Buffy embraces her role as the leader, but realizes that she doesn't have to carry the burden alone anymore. Like, she now can delegate. There's a theme of redemption. Characters like Spike and Faith embody the theme of redemption, showing that even those with dark pasts can make choices that lead to personal growth and continue to the greater good. And then the last one is sacrifice. Many characters face tough choices, and several sacrifices are made for the sake of others, while Spike's final act of selfishness being a defining moment in the series, which it is.
It's
tear-jerking. Very tear-jerking. Some key plot points, of course, we have the first evil, is Agent and Maleficent. what is the other word? Malevolent entity that cannot physically manifest but can take the form of any deceased person. It aims to destroy Buffy and ultimately eradicate the Slayer line forever. The first strategy involves manipulating and gathering other evil forces, including foes like Spike, a twisted priest called Caleb, and a horde of uber vamps. It's interesting because wasn't the Master considered like the first vampire?
That's what I thought.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, I don't know if they ever hinted at that. I don't know if they ever said anything about that in season one, but I remember that being like the definitive canonical thing. Like he was the first vampire. So it's weird that it wasn't him that actually came back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think first evil, I'm assuming the first evil created the first vampire.
That could be.
And
yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting, like, the first season is all about, like, this main vampire evil, and now at the end of the season, we're talking about the first evil altogether that created everything she had to fight. Yeah. So right. I thought that was really interesting parallel that they did. Let's see here. The Slayer line and the potentials is another key plot point. She realizes the Slayer line is at risk. She discovers that she isn't the only Slayer in the world. There are several potentials, so young women who can be activated as Slayers. Her mission is to protect them and ultimately empower them by turning them into Slayers, increasing their chances of survival in the coming battle. That is one thing I never understood about the show, is why it's only one chosen one, because there are vampires all around the world. Why don't we have a chosen one for each country?
I don't know. That's a good question.
They can fight them. Mm-hmm. She's not going to go to Europe, where Europe has a ton of, you know, I mean, there's vampires in Europe. Dracula's over there. Or Asia.
Yeah, or like a place as big as the United States, like one Slayer per state or something.
Yeah, that would make a lot more sense.
Or region. Region would work too.
Northern Slayer, Southern Slayer, Western Slayer, you know, kind of like divided up.
Exactly. Yeah, just everywhere. Yeah.
Exactly.
That could be a fun game to play, though.
They all activate.
That could be a fun game to play. What Slayer, what does your state look like? What state or what kind of Slayer does your state produce? Just imagine. I'm just imagining the Florida Slayer. That's all I'm imagining.
Oh boy.
Ask AI to make that. Ask the almighty AI to make
that. I mean, that would be interesting. I feel like Buffy's character is very much like the Western Slayer. She has that California
Slayer.
Vibe.
She is absolutely California Slayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like Faith would probably be more of like the New York Slayer.
Yes,
very
definitely.
Gangster, badass.
New York,
oops, bad butt.
New York or Los Angeles? Or still California?
She
though,
did fit in well in LA.
That's still Cali. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's speaking of which, one of the key points is the return of Faith. Mm-hmm. She returns as an important ally. She's not an enemy anymore, which thank goodness. But she served time in prison for her past crimes. After doing that, she helps Buffy and the others fight the first evil. Her character arc emphasizes redemption and reconciliation, which is good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Spike's redemption. He goes through a huge transformation, gaining his soul back. But gaining his soul back made him crazy, which makes me sad for him because I love him. He can't, it's like almost like he can't handle it like Angel, which I find interesting because Angel probably did the most psychologically gruesome acts of violence as Angelus. Well, and then Spike was just more just violent. And just
Angel,
didn't
Angel's
care.
Had however many hundreds of years.
I was saying, he's had his soul for much longer.
That's true. Because, like,
he was the same way.
It did take him a while.
Yeah, like
when they do flashbacks, that's how he was. Yeah, he did not handle it well at first. So, Spike just needs time.
But his relationship with Buffy does grow, and by season's end, he makes a noble sacrifice, which I don't know if Buffy ever actually... With how she treated him in previous episodes, I don't know if she deserved it, but that's because I love Spike.
We all love Spike.
We do.
I know. Mm-hmm. Then we got Caleb. A sadistic priest is revealed to be a key enforcer of the first evil. He becomes Buffy's most dangerous foe, not only for his combative prowess, but for his psychological manipulation, his massages, misogynistic hatred of women is particularly chilling as he leads a group of powerful demon uber vamps against the Scoobies.
He's so detestable because he's played by Nathan Fillion. He's so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird watching Fillion play such a detestable
person. Terrible, terrible person. Like, I hate you, but I like you at the same time. Because, like, he does have this sort of, like, southern drawl that's similar to what we see in Malcolm Reynolds a little bit. It's a lot more dramatic, a lot more extreme, but you see a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I saw Firefly before I saw this season of Buffy, so I liked Nathan Fillion before I saw him here, so I didn't have a hatred coming out of this season. Thankfully, he's only, like, in 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. He's not throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm. No.
And then, let's see here, the Scooby Gang, their familiar faces of Xander, Willow, Giles, and Dawn all have personal growth in this season. Willow is still coping with the trauma from season 6, particularly Tara's death and her magical addiction. She slowly regains control over her powers with the help of her friends, which I think is really good. Like, her going cold turkey in season 6 probably wasn't a good idea. No. Probably led to evil Willow. That is, like, the reason, like, just her power just... So this way, like, she has no choice. It's there. It's in her. She has to learn how to control it and to keep it on the good side. So, lot of growth there. Xander, I don't know if I believe this. Oh, Mr. or ChatGPT. Xander becomes more mature...
Okay.
Stepping up as reliable, grounded leader for the group. Okay. And his relationship with Anna comes to an emotional conclusion. Sure. Now, the emotional conclusion, yes, I agree with. But reliable and grounded leader, I think ChatGPT wants him to be that way, and he's not.
Okay, yeah.
What were you watching, ChatGPT? Because it was not this season.
He might be more mature than he was in, like, season 1, but that was,
that's
like,
saying
half
a whole
degree
lot,
more.
Though. I mean, that was too much in season 1, so, like,
no,
just oh my gosh, don't be, you know, like, yeah,
no,
he better not be in the reboot.
I doubt
he
he'll be in the reboot.
God,
well, the actor,
I think, given Nicholas's,
yeah,
exactly what you're gonna say, Dan. Yeah, his personal issues.
Yeah.
I don't think
does he? I don't know anything about the personal or the actor.
Yeah, you should look it up. It's a
he's been in and out of like rehab for different like drug addictions and stuff. He's gone through. Didn't he go through like a domestic violence thing at one point? I don't want
a couple
misinformation, but
yeah, no, he's been arrested for that. Yeah. So yes, that's accurate.
No, he's,
see, that is the Xander. That is in my head just Xander in general. Like that's how Xander would have ended up.
I hate to say that, but you're probably not wrong.
Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah. Let's see here. And then, of course, Dawn, though still struggling with being the key from season 5, matures and proves her worth in the final battle, which I loved watching Buffy try to teach Dawn how to kill a vampire. And, like, the vampire's, like, stuck. He's like, I'm stuck. Can you help me here?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was great. But she's right. I mean, Dawn was right. She's old enough now. She was older than what Buffy was when Buffy started fighting vampires. Like, yes, she doesn't have the strength that Buffy has because Buffy is the chosen one, but she can still learn. Yeah. She'll do better than Xander and Willow before Willow had magic.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have the final battle where Buffy and the Scoobies prepare for the ultimate confrontation with the evil, first evil and its forces. Buffy comes to the realization that she must share her power with others by using this ancient spell. She activates all the potentials, making them slayers, thus creating an army of powerful women. The final battle takes place in the Hellmouth with Buffy leading the charge. In the end, Buffy and her friends manage to destroy the Hellmouth. And with Spike's self-sacrifice, the first is finally defeated. The Scooby Gang survives, and the season ends with Buffy victorious, though she acknowledges that the battle never truly ends.
Right.
And that's true. Because we have more in book form afterwards.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. I read one of them, but I know there's like a... There's like, what, eight of them, I think? There's like eight
something like that.
Volumes of graphic
novels. I've never read the graphic novels, but I do have the novels. Do I have them up here?
Actually, I think I got one right here on my desk floor somewhere. Literally. Yeah, I got it right here. Huzzah!
There you go, oh, nice. Buffy.
So, these came out... When did these come out?
Which one was first? I think it was this one. 2019.
Oh wow, that's recent.
From the world of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This is called Chosen, and this is its sequel. Or this one's called Slayer, and this one is called Chosen. I haven't read this one yet. I need to reread this one. But it's about two of the potential, or one of the potentials, nice. Becoming a Slayer. That's cool. And that's she actually cool. interacts with Buffy in this one in, like, a dream state. Like, they all have this, like, all the potentials, like, in their dreams can kind of communicate with each other in certain ways if they find each mm-hmm. other. Huh. And she, like, actually sits on this roof and has this whole conversation with Buffy and, like, Buffy kind of like, and it sounds like Sarah, which I love because the author's Kirsten White, and she does a lot of like, she did the Padme book. She did a lot of like, she does a lot of extended mm-hmm. stuff.
After she can embody Buffy's voice.
Yeah, she embodied it very well and like talked about her struggle with now knowing that all these girls have this task. Mm-hmm. Of going against vampires and demons and stuff that they didn't choose because she forced it upon them. And that's a whole thing about this book is that it was forced upon them now. Mm. Not everyone wanted it.
Right.
So it's interesting. I need to reread them.
Okay.
But yeah, or at least the first one and then do the second and see if there's any more. But yeah. But in production, Joss Whedon had discussed about the season. We had a few things in mind with season 7. One, everybody was tired of being depressed, including us. Thank you. Two, this was the last season. Three, let's get back to where we started. Let's go back to the beginning. Not the word, not the bang, but the real beginning. He made a religious and scientific joke, and I just noticed.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
But the real...
What did he say?
Not the word, not the bang.
Oh, okay.
The word is like a Christian thing, yeah, and that. The bang, the science. Yeah.
So that took me a minute. I was like, what do you mean by that? The beginning, the word beginning, like the bang of the, I don't, where are you going with that?
Yeah. The big bang.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The word from, I think it's a John chapter something. And the real beginning is girl power. The real beginning is what it means to be a slayer. The real beginning is what does it mean to be a slayer? And not to feel guilty about the power, but having seen the dark side of it, to find the light again, to explore the idea of the slayer fully, and perhaps to see a very grown-up and romantic and confusing idea of this relationship that isn't about power, but is actually genuinely beautiful between two people in a form of Buffy and Spike. I feel that I wrote the perfect ending for the show and wrapped everything up exactly the way it should be. We wanted to hit the final chord of a beautiful symphony that unfortunately was in season 5. So with season 7, I sort of had to shut the door on the idea that it was the last episode a little bit because the weight of that was crushing on me. I was terrified, but I was so very specifically new what I needed to say and what I needed to have happen. This was all in there. But when you get into actually writing it, you're just like, oh God, it's not good enough. Then you're like, dude, you've got to chill because it's unbearable pressure. You want the last episode to mean something that no other episode has, and it is large. It was so hard to shoot, so we went out with a bang and hopefully an emotional one.
Yeah.
He did well.
Yeah.
He did.
It was a good last episode.
Yep. The season earned the series the Hugo Awards as Best Dramatic Presentation, short form for the episode Conversations with the Dead, and the episode Chosen was nominated for the same category, and then the season's episode Chosen was nominated for the Emmys as Outstanding Special Effects, Visual Effects for a Series, but it did not win, it was just nominated.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Where do you guys want to start? Who has thoughts and who wants to dive in?
As we wait for the other
What did you think about them kicking Buffy out of her house?
Remind me what episode that was.
I don't remember. Which episode it was. But there's... Okay, so like Buffy gets... Okay, the one girl hangs herself, right? Mm-hmm. The potential, she hangs herself. Buffy has to bury her, and she comes in and she's just like, this is ridiculous, the first is having me bury our own people, and she like yells at all of them, right? And then everybody is like, Buffy, you're doing too much. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, you're not the boss of us, who made you in charge? It's I think insulting to the character of Buffy. And they basically, like, Dawn gets in her face and she's just like, you have to go because everybody wants you to go. And then Buffy leaves all sad. And she walks down the road and she breaks into some dude's house and takes it over. And then Spike comes. You remember that episode?
I don't.
No.
I
don't remember which one it was.
It was Empty Places.
Okay.
Sure. I just found it. Empty Places. And Faith takes over as the leader at that point.
Yeah, they vote Faith to take over. Yeah. Because I think that was the same episode where Faith takes them all out of the bronze and Buffy yells at her, too.
Mm-hmm. Buffy was like, history was yelling at people and, I don't know, like, it feels like an overused trope that we've used in every season. Like, at this point, it's the last season, I feel like we should all kind of be on board with this at this point. Like, I know, at one point, I know she gives a speech, like, Xander says something about, like, you know, who made you the law? Why are you always the law? And it's like, she gives this really heartfelt, like, honest speech. No arrogance whatsoever. She's like, I did not choose any of this. I have fought against this every day, and it all falls on me because I am the only one with this strength. Yes, I am the law. That's not something I say out of arrogance. It's truth. And, like, she gets no joy out of that. It's just a burden she has to carry. And it's like, we should kind of know this by now, you know?
I know. That's what I was thinking during that episode. I'm just like, I'm sorry, where have you been?
Yeah. For all the years. We dealt this in season 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, this is season 1 crap. Like, come on.
Buffy knows what she's doing, okay? And she's much older now, so she certainly has a grasp on what's happening.
Well, probably what is not helping is it's the Potentials, who have not been there through all of it. All they know is that this woman who says she is the Slayer, who is the Slayer, has taken them away from their homes, their training, whatever it is, and brought them to this house. And now they, like, sorry, I'm sorry, you want me to do what? Mm-hmm. Like, you want us to learn what? Like, I can see why they got so mad and they kicked her out. Now, should have Dawn and all the others, like Faith, said, heck no, we're not doing this. You need to calm down and listen. And this is Buffy and she is the way.
Faith,
Faith
didn't want to be in charge. They just liked her better, which Buffy says, is this a popularity contest?
Because Faith has no responsibility.
Faith is the person who lets people get away with stuff. That's why they want
Well, they're two sides of a coin, right? We talked about that, right? And they each need each other to balance out. What I think would have been better is Faith came back. Buffy should have said, okay, you're going to be my second in command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's actually have a conversation and work together to figure out the best way to lead them. Mm-hmm. Because, they all thought Buffy was too hard on them. And she had led them into battle with Caleb. And some of them died and they didn't want to go back. Mm-hmm. And Buffy was like, we have to go back and get his secret weapon. And even Giles was just like, everybody made me mad in that scene.
Yeah.
Because, like, Buffy was being a little too hard on them. And then everybody else was being too ridiculous with, you know, putting all this, like, oh, like you said, who made you the law? Why are you in charge? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's Faith made her, like, Fate, not Faith, a person. But, but I mean, to be fair, what you're saying, Ashley, Faith was the only one who followed Buffy out of the house when she left. Everybody let her leave, and Faith went out there, and she's just like, what are we supposed to do now? And Buffy's like, you have to lead them. They chose you. It is what it is. So, you know, I'm not saying she could have done more, for sure, but Faith was the only one who actually was kind of like, wait, what are we doing to Buffy?
Well, and Faith isn't, like, I don't think Faith out by herself could have switched it. I think all of the Scoobies would have had to, and Faith, come together and said, no, this is not what we're doing. And the fact that Dawn even said, you need to leave, from what I saw in the notes, because I did not watch this episode, that's not good.
No, that, like, really ticked
me. Y'all kind of screwed up this.
Yeah.
But I just had an epiphany. Faith is the Spike of the Slayers, and Buffy is the Angel.
Yeah,
they definitely fit the archetype.
I can see that.
Yeah,
Angel definitely thinks he's all high and mighty compared to Spike. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there's always, like, I mean, and it's not just exclusive. I see this in a lot of weeding shows, but in team settings like this, there's always, like, the two sides of the same coin. That leader who is you know, hard edge. Their word is the law. There's no getting away from them. And they are kind of, you know, they have the dark side, mm-hmm. but they keep it under control. So you kind of relate to them. And then you have the other guys who, the other side character of that, who pretty much says, no, screw you, we're all going to die. This is stupid. Like, you know, the good guy, bad guy, good cop, bad cop, that dichotomy. We see, you know, there's a lot of that. And that's always fun to, those are fun dynamics to explore. I wish we could get more of that with Buffy and Faith. I would absolutely watch team up with them.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. It's like a, it'd be a, to relate it to another one, like an Anakin Obi-Wan dichotomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we always, I think when they become adults, like in our heads, even now, like I have to think, like, I was just trying to do the math. She's only like 23, 24 in this
they
season.
Are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is in her younger to middle 20s. Mm-hmm. They haven't, she has lived a lot when it comes to that world. But when it comes to like being an adult and leadership, when it comes to more than just like her little friendship group, she hasn't experienced a lot of that. They haven't experienced a lot of this. And it's, and you're going to have butting heads. Mm-hmm. And then you got a bunch of teenagers who just, teenagers are, they're just a lot. And that's being nice.
Yeah.
I have other words for teenagers in high school. Changes.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Who all ended up dying by the end of Buffy?
Anya.
Other than Anya and Spike, was there anybody else significant?
I mean, some of the potentials.
Yeah. Was it Andrew? Didn't he died as well? Didn't he?
No.
No? Oh, he did.
No.
Jonathan died. No. He died.
Jonathan.
Jonathan died.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning.
Andrew killed him?
Yeah.
I don't remember
that.
It's
like a huge plot point that he's trying to open the seal because is Warren is like, you need to go do this. And then he stabs his
friend. Warren, who Andrew's in love with. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord. Wait a second. Does Giles die? I can't remember.
No.
I don't think so.
Did you just ask this? No, he didn't die.
I did not just ask about Giles.
No, you asked who significant died. You think I wouldn't have mentioned Giles?
Well, I just looked up who all died in Buffy's last episode, and something popped up about Giles dying. I'm like, wait a second. I don't
remember
this. Giles
doesn't die. No. None of the Scoobies die.
Some stupid person in Wikipedia said that Giles was killed by Angelus by also getting his neck snapped.
Yeah, that's in the comics, not in the TV show.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know Giles died in the comics.
It's okay. They bring him back or something. I don't know. Again, not having read it.
Oh, dear Lord.
I don't know. Not having read it.
Well, this is my very basic knowledge.
Yeah.
Very basic knowledge of what happened.
Yeah. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a wiki that has like a list of everyone who died in all the seasons.
Wow.
Like in every episode.
I'm not surprised, actually. Somebody did that.
That's a Joss Whedon's fan, and he just likes to kill people.
He does. Yeah.
They never finished the last season, though. It all says TBA, TBA, TBA.
Really? You've had a long time to get that list updated, friend.
Oh my gosh.
Just saying.
Oh dear Lord, that's funny. Anywho.
Pull up the...
Anything else specific we want to talk about with this episode? Or this season? I know we're all kind of Buffied out, but anything else we need to...
I think they did good with what they had. You know, they did the best they could. Even though 5 would have been a perfect ending, they, you know, brought back a lot of that spice and that lightness of the earlier seasons while, you know, understanding the seriousness of the situations that they have to do, that they have to finish everything out with. So, I like that. You know,
did we lose Dan?
Dan's gone.
And you know what's funny? The noise I was hearing is gone.
It was him. It was him. I thought it was me. It's him. Go away.
Sorry, I don't know.
Go away. Okay. Is he back? He's back. Okay.
Dan, do you have a fan going? Okay, so that noise I was hearing earlier, it's your...
I have a fan on, but it's not making noise. Like...
Interesting.
That's weird. I don't know.
It's very odd.
Did that make anything go away?
No. It's like a buzzing. I don't know. I don't know if it's from your computer, like, fan going or what. It's not a big deal. We thought it was her computer, but
I really
it's not.
Did think it was mine. Right. I was just like, oh, damn.
Yeah. I like Spike's redemption arc. I wasn't really a fan of it at first because he wasn't really Spike anymore. Like, he wasn't, you know, fun, you know, funny and mean Spike. Yeah. But he brought his spikiness back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, ultimately I liked his arc. And, I thought it was, they ended well. Buffy ultimately is a coming-of-age story, and she came of age. She grew up. It ended with her growing up. Yeah.
That is true. Yeah.
So I was looking to see if there's anything official with the reboot. But there's not. It's still just very much in talks. Apparently they've been talking about it for a couple years.
Yeah, I think I did read that too.
A lot of people from the old shows are, like, supporting it. David, Carissa, Seth. But there's nothing. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see if it actually comes
alive.
Have
either of you followed Charisma Carpenter on her blog/TikTok page?
Yeah, I haven't listened to the episodes yet of The Bitch Is Back. I haven't listened to it, but I love her.
Why does she call it that? Is it just because she plays a bitch?
That was a line in Angel. That was like, one of Cordelia's most famous speeches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She is very funny. I like her. She's great.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is actually happening. Ryan K. Armstrong has been casted in the new Sunnydale.
Yeah, they're actually working on it. I just don't know how to release it.
Well, this article made it sound like it wasn't happening yet.
No, they're actively, like, writing it and getting ready to shoot at some point.
From the moment I saw Ryan's audition, I knew there was only one girl that I wanted by my side. Aww. To have that kind of emotional intelligence and talent at such a young age is truly a gift. The bonus is that her smile lights up even the darkest of rooms. The thing that I'm wondering what they're going to do is, like, certain characters like Xander and Dawn, are we going to recast?
Oh, I doubt it.
And bring them in? Or are we going to somehow write them out? Hopefully, I don't mind if they recast Xander as long as he becomes not a horrible human being. But Dawn, I feel like... I would be mad if anybody else played Dawn.
I don't think Sarah would let them do that because she was very close to Michelle. So I don't think she would ever consider that. I don't know what they'll do, but they may not really be, I mean, they may not be relevant because it's going to be focused on a new Slayer. So we may not really need the other, I could see Willow coming in as the witch, you know, but we may not need the other characters.
So maybe it's not going to be in Sunnydale. Maybe it's going to be a different part of the world that has a horrible Hellmouth that pops up somewhere.
And then as far as Xander goes, like, I don't know, I'd rather him not come back as opposed to recasting him, because I think it's one of those situations where recasting would just kind of ruin it. Like, sometimes recasting works, and then sometimes it's like, I'm so used to seeing you as one person, now you're a different person, I'm supposed to believe. I don't know, I wouldn't buy it personally. But...
Yeah.
Oh gosh. So I'm looking up what happened to Nicholas.
Yes, it's not pretty.
He checked into a rehab clinic right after the end of season 7. So he was having these issues during the show, I assume.
Yeah. I've read that David does not care for Nicholas. And they did like a reunion photo shoot for something, you know, years after the show had wrapped, and that Nick had to be separated from everybody because I think David was, if I remember right, David was one of the key points of that. He was just like, I don't want him around the other cast members.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2014, he was arrested in Idaho and charged with misdemeanor counts of malicious injury to property and restraining or obstructing officers. Mm. Wow. He was under arrest in 2015 in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
After him and his wife called it quits after 5 months of marriage. He was arrested a second time in 2015 for flipping a hotel bed and smashing a porcelain figure.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Pulling the phone off the wall and clogging the toilet, which called water to spill out into the room's carpet. Oh, he looks scary, and his mugshot is terrifying. Man, he was arrested 3 times in 2015.
Yes, he did seem to injure the property. Such a weird phrasing.
Sorry, I'm sorry, 4 times. Because that was also the year he got arrested for grabbing his girlfriend by the throat.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Yeah.
He had failed attempts at suicide. Oh. Did you know what happened to him in his past? When he was 10? A music teacher violated. Huh. For years.
Oh. I mean, he obviously has some issues.
So,
that he needs help with.
Yeah. He was arrested again in 2017.
Yeah.
Dear gosh. 2019. Boy, you just need to stay in jail.
He needs to get help. He needs to get actual help. But
yeah,
it's also one of those things where like he needs to want to get help. It looks like it's one of those like when you see a pattern of this, it sounds like he doesn't really want to get help. And like people like that just, you know. Exactly. And I don't want to speak on that. I mean, I've never been in that situation, so I don't know what that's actually like experiencing that. But I don't know. I've been on the outside and I've seen situations where it's like, yeah, people just keep doing it to themselves and they don't really want to change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He was in Indiana in 2021 and arrested for false information to obtain prescription drugs.
Yeah.
He gave them a California ID with a name on it, and he said it was his brother, but his brother's name is something totally different. And he does. He has an identical twin brother.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is a little creepy. Wow. Vigo. Where's Vigo? I don't know Vigo County in Indiana. What is Vigo?
Hold on. Now, some of this stuff he got arrested for when he was traveling for cons. So that's somewhat, I think, why sometimes he's kind of all over the place. But I don't know where Vigo is.
Oh, it's the Terre Haute area.
Okay.
He was over there.
I mean, it could have been for a convention. Near me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Terre Haute's close enough to Indy that he was probably staying there for a convention in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
Glad it wasn't Fort Wayne area. I don't need you near me. Go away.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, child. You got problems.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of problems.
He does.
So I don't think anybody else from that show had, like, horrible problems afterwards, did they?
I mean, not that I've heard of, but...
Not that I know of.
I mean, other than Michelle, like, getting sick...
Obviously,
David ended up doing very well. Sarah has a great life, whether actor and personal. I love seeing videos of her and Freddie together. They're so cute.
Yeah. I love them.
I love them.
Yes.
Allison Hannigan's had a great career.
I love seeing her pop up and talk about things that she's been in.
She's been a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Brett's and been rewatching How I Met Your Mother.
I keep forgetting that they got married.
It's so weird because I hate Wesley.
I hate him in Buffy. I like him more in Angel, but.
He grew on me in Angel when I watched Angel, but like I remember him coming up in Angel the first time I watched it. I'm like, no, I do not want to deal with this stupid man. And then
I hate him for the situation and the things he adds to the situation, but like him personally, like I hate him at first, but then I recognize that like, okay, you're just a guy, you're doing your job. I get it. Like, you're not a bad guy. You're just pussy and obnoxious. But at the end of the day, you want to do the right thing. So it's like, I don't know. I can't totally fault him for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm totally on the opposite end. Can't stand him. Wish he was never in the scene. Like, Wesley's character, not the actor. Mm-hmm. Get done. But no, thank you. He was a more pompous, arrogant Giles, and he tried to be better than Giles, and I'm just like, I need you gone. Like, I wanted to punch you and push you back to England.
I mean, I'll give him that. He was arrogant, but he did have the, it's like Giles was, I remember Giles at one point was like looking through a book, it's like, oh yeah, no, it's this, boom. It's like, okay, I hate you, but you actually got some skill. I, you know.
Yeah, you actually are contributing. Yeah, you know.
Still don't like him.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I mean, fair. Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, ads. I hate ads. Go away. Just let me read the dang article.
Oh, boy.
He had spinal surgery. Nicholas Brendan.
Yeah.
He had a cardiac arrest in 22 and has actually had issues with his, paralyzed. He's been paralyzed in certain areas. Wow, that, oh my gosh, that man has had a lot of problems. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
So overall, friends, watch Buffy.
Do it.
Yes. And highly recommend.
Don't like Xander.
Yes. It's okay to not like... You know, someone posted on TikTok, I came across this video, and she's like, I'm new to Buffy. Like, I just started watching Buffy. Mm-hmm. And she said, I have a question for everyone who's watched Buffy. I'm in the first season. She's just like, am I supposed to like Xander? And I just comment on there, and I was like, no. And there were a lot of people who were like, you're not going to like him. There was a lot of Xander hate there. Yes.
He does have his moments in like season 3 or 4. He does have a few moments. I will give him that. On the whole, he's very not likable at all. He's very hard to like.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. All the way to the end. Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, let's wrap up Buffy.
Okey-doke.
I'm excited. We're not losing all of our Buffy people. We are moving into a spinoff next week. Mm-hmm. We are going into Angel.
We're growing up and going out into the world.
With David and...
I said we're growing up and we're going out into the world. We're leaving high school and going out into the world.
We are. Sure are. Yeah.
We are. Yes, because even though they're out of high school in Buffy, it still feels like they're in high school even all the way through season 7.
Yeah.
It's very true. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on. So, friends, I hope you enjoyed us talking about Buffy. Hope you learned some things and have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next week for season 1 of Angel.
Yes. Woo. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.